Hi, I'm Siobhan, your sales how-to gal, bringing you another episode of the Sales for Lawyers semi-monthly podcast. In this episode, I explain why you should be a killjoy. This episode is different from our normal episodes because this one is primarily for law firm managers and executives rather than for individual practitioners and salespeople. Here's a sales tip for management. Your clients have a sales strategy. They expect the same of you. Many legal firms are still holding on to the way things were, when lawyers were the only providers of legal services, when sales and marketing budgets were small, and sales and marketing activities didn't extend far beyond what really are basic activities necessary to maintain a competency level after formal education is complete. We published scholarly articles, joined bar associations and charitable boards, and basically focused on networking and building our credentials. That's not really sales and marketing. It's more like product development. But we followed this formula because where we'd been educated and how big our firm was were our tickets into the rooms where engagements were handed out. And I do mean handed out, because we didn't really compete. We avoided unsavory marketing activities such as advertising and branding, and we considered it selling when we gave presentations, reciting our credentials, and listing who we represented in the past, without putting that information into any context of how it could help the prospective client to achieve expressed business objectives. In fact, we actively avoided giving business advice at all, because we didn't want the risk that lawyers associate with the exercise of business judgment. That's the past. But it's understandable that some of us want to continue or bring back that old system. If you've been successful in the past under a particular system, why would you want it to change? But the fact is, change isn't our choice. And in this case, I believe the change that we're afraid of already has occurred. Its effects have not set in yet, but every day we get farther and farther away from the old way, whether we like it or not. So be a killjoy. Don't let your firm and colleagues feel invincible or oversecure in your position in the marketplace, like antebellum Southerners clinging to a civilization that, while idyllic to some, is soon to be gone with the wind. Some state bars may be planning a last stand where lawyers plan to fight against, and there are air quotes here, allowing non-lawyers to provide anything more than the limited legal services performed by LegalZoom and other internet providers. But there is really a good chance that that last stand will run into some roadblocks. For example, how does exclusion improve consumer choice and competition? How does it benefit consumers? Because if all it really does is benefit certain lawyers, the case is a loser. If you are among the leaders of an organization that intends to fight to exclude non-lawyers from the legal marketplace, there are ways that you can effectively lead your organization into the post-monopoly marketplace for legal services by being a killjoy. If this is the first time you've tuned into my podcast, you should know that we name our episodes in a way that attracts clicks. Be a brown noser, don't be a waiter, how not to get dumped. Those are names of some of our episodes. Be a brown noser is about making gatekeepers your allies so you can set sales appointments. Don't be a waiter is about preparing for renewal and referral sales calls instead of assuming they are a done deal. And how not to get dumped is about reading between the lines when a prospect doesn't tell you the real reason that they are not giving you the engagement. So be a killjoy doesn't literally mean be a harbinger of doom. It means you must use subtle leadership to prepare your colleagues and your firm for change. Trying to force anyone to do anything never works anyway. Being a killjoy is a sophisticated and highly effective selling technique where you guide a reluctant or skeptical prospect to arrive at a conclusion on his or her, but usually his, own. When your prospect sets forth his plan to support bar rules that prevent multidisciplinary firms, multi-jurisdictional firms, or sharing fees with non-lawyers, don't try to talk them out of it, but consider encouraging the development of a plan B. You might say, okay, I certainly understand why we want to cover all bases, but how long do you think that litigation will take? What will our competitors be doing to gain a stronger foothold in the marketplace while it's pending? What will we do if the courts side with full-service non-lawyer providers the way the courts sided with limited-service non-lawyer providers? How are we poised for continued success in the marketplace if our competitors get the green light to align their U.S. practices with their worldwide legal practices? Those are important questions for you to ask, and you need to think about what your sales strategy will be. Your clients have a sales strategy. So do your non-lawyer competitors and every other supplier who does business with your clients. Why don't you? How will you compete with their name recognition and worldwide reach? Ask. We all know that unstructured activity doesn't lead to consistent results. Lawyers don't wing closing arguments or public speeches. There's a certain format we follow when drafting a letter, a memorandum, or a brief. Why don't lawyers and legal businesses similarly follow sales best practices? If you don't want to lament 20 years from now that large legal firms no longer exist, that you did not pass down the industry to the next generation of lawyers, be a killjoy now. Okay, this episode was for law firm managers and executives. Join me next time when we will bring the discussion back to the level of the individual practitioner building a book of business. I'm Siobhan, your sales how-to gal. Good day.